So a year ago, Lads to Leaders announced the theme for this year, and that theme was Faith Works, and it comes from James and 1 and 2 Peter. And so for the past year, specifically the past 9 months since August when we kicked off Lads to our own Lads to Leaders program, our young people, and well, I say young people, some of our adults have also been doing this as well, have been focusing their time and attention on James and 1 and 2 Peter. And that has shown itself in the way that our kids have developed, the way that our young people have developed spiritually and grown together. It's going to be a long sermon. Okay. Listen, you will see in these pictures, there is one thing that is true, and that it is that there is no tired like Lads to Leaders tired. Okay. So please bear with me as we get through this. Okay. So we're going to start with showing some pictures. Here's the thing that I've noticed about the Lads convention is there's a lot of times where we get to just fellowship together, where we can just support one another, where we can go and encourage one another and be with each other. And so a lot of these pictures will start to show that. On this next slide, we have some of our award ceremony. I have no idea what those medals are for. I think it's for Bible Bowl, but I'm not 100% sure. Then there's Ollie Bell and Owen, and then Kaylin and Annie on that one as well. And then we have more of all of us just getting together and spending time with one another at the convention center, just being with each other. When I think about Acts chapter 2, the last part of Acts, that's what it's about, is being together, doing things together as a church family. And since Thursday, we've been doing that in a very real way. That has been awesome. Awesome to see. This next picture, I love this picture for many reasons, but mostly I was telling Megan this earlier. I call this picture, I know that Brooks is not the only guy in this picture, but I call this picture Brooks and his girls, because if you look at Brooks over here, he's the only one making that face, and I don't know why, but I just think it's so cool. Then there's just more pictures. We've got our puppets team over here. We've got the Ellis boys over there. We've got some of our youth group girls, some Anna Hadfield over there, and Jasper over there. We had Jason Harper win first place in their Art Says It categories. Naomi Hendricks giving her speech. And then, again, we have Annie and Ollie and LJ over there. I'm so sorry, y'all. Then this picture right here. This picture's so special. The one on the left. There is two of our seniors and some of our little ones carrying the banner during the opening ceremonies. Y'all, this picture right here is so special in a lot of different ways. But mainly one of the reasons that it's so special is because that encapsulates our youth ministry program as a whole, y'all. From the oldest seniors down to some of our littles. And together they're doing something that's just so awesome. And Parker Prentice's face just shows it all in that one. There's some more of the award ceremony. And then the bottom picture right here is more of that's on Bible Bowl on that one. And again, we have more on Bible Bowl over there. We have them playing in the Delta Island over there. And then Owen got gold level on Read the Book or Know the Books, that says Know the Books, which is just super duper awesome on all of that. Like I said, for the past 9 months, and I mean really a year, our church family has been focusing on James and 1 and 2 Peter. The French family joined us in January, and ever since then, they have been so plugged in I mean, from the very beginning, they have been plugged in, and they've been such a blessing to our church family here, and they have gotten involved just quickly, and I'm super duper thankful for them. Now, I do have a favorite picture. We posted a Google folder in the team reach that we made, and we told everybody just throw pictures in there, all kinds of pictures from the convention. This one stands out the most because this one is a perfect description of how everybody in a purple shirt is feeling right now. A perfect description. I was talking to the hookers earlier, and they were like, yeah, this was like 11 o'clock last night. And I was like, I wish I was doing that at 11 o'clock last night. But that is my favorite picture. We had, from our church family here at Henderson, this is not on convention level. This is just us here at the church in Henderson. We had 65 students participate in our program. That some of those did not go to convention, but they participated internally, and that is what it's all about. That was 65 students for a grand total of 138 people that attended convention. And that's what this picture is right here. 138 people from our church congregation went to Nashville this weekend. It was an amazing, amazing experience. However, that's not the only surprise that we had this year. We were headed over here to this picture, and Robert had something in his hand, and I was like, oh no, what is he doing? But I didn't say anything until this pops out. Now, before I show you what's going on, I need to preface this. This picture was taken in confidence, okay? I was helping somebody do an Art Says It thing, and it was blackmailed and used against me, okay? And so I don't appreciate it, Nathan Pierce, okay? But this pops out, okay? And I don't know what to do with this. I don't know whether to be offended. I don't know whether to be, like, honored. I don't know what to do with this. But, so this has now got a home in my office, okay? In case you were wondering. But in all seriousness, this weekend was incredible. This weekend was absolutely incredible. We are going to take a break. And by a break, I mean like 6 weeks. And that's about it. Because on May the 24th, we are doing a kickoff on our year-round events for 2027. That is May the 24th. And then in August, we'll kick off our convention events for 2027. They released the theme for the 2027 convention, and that is No Other Gods, coming from 1 Kings. That's going to be tough. That's going to be so tough, but it's going to be so rewarding at the exact same time. So if you're here tonight, I encourage you to encourage our young, our youth group, our children's ministry, all of our young people to be reading and to start studying 1 Kings because they're going to need it. But faith works. That was the theme of the convention this year, was faith works. So I've got a question. How do we know if our faith is alive and working? I mean, we can sit here all day long and talk about how, yes, faith works. Faith is to lead me to work. But how do I know if our faith is alive and working? I think this is where the Gospels come in. Specifically. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple of examples of people who believed in Jesus, but they didn't just believe. They responded in faith to him. except one. Some stepped forward in faith. Some hesitated. Some walked away. But tonight what I want us to do is to not compare ourselves to each other, not compare ourselves to these people in the Gospels. But what I want us to do is just look at their faith and then look at our own and say, where is my faith? Am I going to respond? What does my faith actually do? Up number one. First things first. We're going to consider Peter. Consider Peter in Matthew chapter 26 or Matthew 14. Matthew 14, Jesus is walking on the water and the disciples are panicking. They're in the boat, which by the way, I would be panicking too. They're in the boat and they're panicking and they see what they think is a ghost. And Peter cries out, Lord, if it is you, if it is actually you, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter starts walking on water. And then he starts looking at everything that's going on around him. And then he starts to sink. See, we talk about this story and we talk about how we don't need to be distracted. And we talk about how Peter had the faith to and the courage to get out of the boat. And both of those are extremely true. But what do I do? What does my faith do once I fail? Once Peter did start sinking, what happened? See, Peter didn't give up. He kept going. Even though he sank and Jesus reached out his hand and rescued him, he kept going. Consider Matthew 26, where Jesus says, all of you are going to desert me. And Peter goes, oh, I won't. I'm going to be right there with you the whole time. And then what happens? Peter denies him publicly 3 different times. But that didn't stop Peter either. Because remember on the fish breakfast in John where Jesus restores Peter, and then on Acts chapter 2, even though all the other disciples are right there in the discussion of Acts chapter 2, who's the one that pretty much gets all the credit? Peter. What do I do when my faith fails? Peter shows us that our faith should keep going when I mess up. Because here's the thing, the New Testament is not about perfect law keeping. The New Testament isn't about, hey, I've got to do this perfectly. It's about grace. It's about Jesus. It's about what he did. And that should lead me to obedient faith, to responding to what he did and what has done for me. That's what my faith should lead me to do. Peter shows us that our faith should keep going. But number two, in Matthew chapter 19, we read of a man who comes to Jesus urgently, and he starts asking Jesus some questions. And he starts asking, I mean, the right questions. And Jesus looks at him and says, go and sell all that you have. Go and do everything, or go and sell all that you have and come follow me. The rich young ruler, what do I need to surrender? Where in my faith am I relying too much on Caleb? Where in my faith am I relying too much on you and not enough on Jesus? Where are things in my life that I need to surrender? See, the rich young ruler walked away as soon as it got costly. As soon as it started to affect the things that he loved the most, that's when it started to really make him go, maybe not. Where in my faith am I looking at Jesus and going, maybe not? What are things that I need to surrender? See, here's the thing. The rich young ruler shows us that if our faith has limits, it's not real faith, it's negotiation. Am I following Jesus, or am I only wanting to make a deal with him? Am I following Jesus, or am I trying to negotiate with him? See, Jesus says, the rich young ruler asks, hey, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Do you? Because if you're looking at Jesus and going, maybe not, that's a negotiation. And that's what the rich young ruler suggests is not real. Consider the sick woman. This is in Luke chapter 8, verses 24 through 48. This woman has been sick for a long time. She has depleted her savings. She has gone through as many doctors as she possibly can, and she's not being healed. She can't be healed. And so in Old Testament, or in this culture, under Old Testament law, she was unclean. She could not be in society. And so she was unwelcomed, she was unclean, and she was alone. That's a death sentence for people in this culture. Does my faith push me towards Jesus even when it's easier to stay hidden? This woman had the courage to say, there's only one hope. And that one hope is Jesus. And so she moved. See, her faith wasn't just internal belief. But that internal belief, that belief in who Jesus was, because she's heard of Jesus, she's heard that he has healed people, and it moved her from the place of hidden into exposing in broad daylight in public. And she was healed. The sick woman shows that our faith must be willing to move even when it's uncomfortable. Even when it's extremely difficult. Here's my question that I have for you tonight. Do I act on my faith, or do I hope in silence? Does my faith lead me to action, or do I just hope? The sick woman shows us that our faith must be willing to move, even when it's uncomfortable. And in Luke chapters 5, verses 17 through 39, we read of a really incredible story. A story of some friends who had another friend who was paralyzed. And all of them wanted to see Jesus. And so they go to this house where they have heard that Jesus is. The problem is they can't get to him because everybody else is there. And so what do they do? Well, here's what they don't do. They don't say, well, we tried. They don't say, well, we'll wait till he comes out. No, they go to the roof of the house, and somehow or another, I'm still kind of confused on this, somehow or another they get the paralytic from the ground onto the roof. And they start digging a hole through the roof. And they lower the man in front of Jesus. So let's consider the friends. Whose faith is strengthened because of mine? Think about your friends. Are their faith, or is their faith strengthened because of your own? See, these friends refused to be stopped by obstacles. They refused to be stopped by people. They refused to be stopped by physical barriers that prevented them from seeing Jesus. They went anyway. They tore open a roof. Here's the thing. Your faith is not supposed to be just personal. It's supposed to be purposeful. It's supposed to be encouraging. It's supposed to be seen by other people so that way they can glorify God. Whose faith is strengthened because of my own? See, all these people believed something about Jesus. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had an interaction with him. They've heard about Jesus. They heard about what he was doing. And they believed, at least at some level, something about him. And then they went to him. See, Peter, even when he failed, his faith kept going. The rich young ruler, he had heard about Jesus, and he went and had a conversation with Jesus. But it refused to act. It refused to surrender to Jesus. The woman reached out in faith, and the friends carried their other friend to Jesus. See, James in 1 and 2 Peter teach us that faith works, that faith produces action in us all, and the Gospels show us what that looks like. The Gospels paint a picture of what that looks like. So here's my question for you tonight. What is your faith doing right now? Where is your faith tonight? Not where it was yesterday, not where it was 2 years ago, not what it will be, but right now, tonight, what is your faith doing? Perhaps you relate with Peter. You need to come back after drifting. Maybe you're like the rich young ruler who needs to let go of something, who needs to surrender to Jesus. Maybe you feel connected with the woman and you need to step out instead of staying silent and hidden. Maybe you're like the friends. You relate to the friends and you need help. You need help getting someone else to Jesus, to see and encounter Jesus. For some of you, faith working means starting something, means starting faith. For others, it means surrendering something. Or perhaps it means coming back. See, if faith works, then it should be working in us tonight, right? If faith works, then it should be working. See, this isn't about effort. If we make this about effort, we've missed the point. See, this is about Jesus. This is about an interaction and an encounter with Jesus. These four cases, these four people had an encounter with Jesus, and their faith was revealed in how they responded to that interaction with Jesus. The difference isn't what they knew about Jesus. The difference is what they did with Jesus standing in front of them. So here's the truth. Faith isn't measured by what we say in a building. Faith isn't measured by how many times I'm in Bible class. It's measured by what we do when we leave. And so tonight, Jesus is calling. Not for perfect people. Not for people who have it all figured out, but for people whose faith is ready to work, is ready to be seen, is ready to be shown. So here's the so the question is simple. When you have an encounter with Jesus, what will you do? Who will you be like? Tonight, if you need to come back, if you need to let go of something, if you need to step out of the silence, or if you need help, let us help you as together we stand and sing.